We've had the opportunity to study this letter called 1 Peter together over the last few months here in Exchange. And today we come to the very end of this great, great part of the Bible in 1 Peter. If you guys need a Bible, you can raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one so that you can follow along. Just want to encourage you to turn there and we'll look at God's word together. And as you're turning, I want to go back to the very beginning of our time that we started when we started looking at 1 Peter chapter of all of this, 1 Peter a few months ago. The very beginning of that, we started by just talking about getting the mail. Getting the mail. Like, I don't know if you ever get mail from the mailbox at your house, but if you do, you at least know what it's like, or maybe you've seen your parents get that mail from the mailbox, and they look through it, and there's the unimportant stuff. There are the flyers, the like grocery store coupons, things that they're going to throw away right away. And then there's some maybe more important mail, some things that they might want to read, a nice letter, or even something that's exciting for you, like something from your grandma that might have some money in it for your birthday. Or maybe in that mailbox, there's even something that's really important that your parents need to know about, to see and read and actually respond to that letter. And we said that 1 Peter is just like that, in that it is a real letter that's written from a real man, from Peter, to real Christians a long time ago. And it's one of those letters that's so important and really one of the most amazing of all letters that we could ever read or ever open and look at. It's a letter that we should be so excited to open and study and be careful to make sure that we read and know about and look at and pay attention to. One of those letters that we got to make sure that we don't just put aside or think is not really that big a deal, as with all of the Bible. But here in 1 Peter, we have very clearly a short little letter from Peter to some Christians to help us know, like we've said throughout, that it is so great to be a Christian. This letter was written to help you know how great it is to be a Christian and how we need to live if we are Christians. It's a book of the Bible, a letter that's here to let us know how great it is to be a Christian and how we need to live if we are Christians. And God wants us to know, we know this letter starts off right away in chapter 1, showing us how great it is to be a Christian. If you're a Christian, chapter 1 says you receive God's mercy. That's 1 Peter 1:3. You receive God's mercy. His mercy and his kindness know no end, like that song says. You receive forgiveness from all of your sins if you've become a Christian. Chapter 1 also says that if you're a Christian, you've been given new life. You have been born again from being spiritually dead in your sins to being spiritually alive to God. If you're a Christian, you have also a lasting hope that goes on forever and ever, an inheritance in heaven kept there reserved for you, 1 Peter 1 says. And if you're a Christian, you're going to be kept by God forever. Your faith is secure. There is no way that you could possibly lose your salvation if God has saved you. If you're a Christian, you are secure. And if you're a Christian, you can now be filled with great joy in your life. Chapter 1, verse 8 says, if you're a Christian, you can greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. This letter began by showing us how great it is to be a Christian. And then throughout the rest of this letter, it's an encouragement for you if you've come to receive Christ, if you have become a Christian, if you've come to understand how great it is to know Christ, how should you live in this world? How should you live in this world when even things are a little bit difficult? How should you live in this world now that you've been saved from your sins? Peter tells us it's not to go back to our sin, but it's to live in holiness, to live in this new direction of obeying Christ and living different from the world, living for Christ, living holy and differently. And that's not always going to be easy. We've seen that there's going to be times when you might stand out for being a Christian. You might be thought of as weird or be disrespected or have unkind words said about you because you follow Jesus. And so Peter's been writing to give us so many encouragements, to just keep reminding us, keep going if you are a Christian. It truly is so great to be a Christian. And here's how you should live in this world if you have become a Christian. And right here, this morning, we come to the close of this letter. And Peter leaves us with some final encouragements, some final few encouragements at the end. And really, it's just a final few ways that Christians can keep going in the right direction, that they can keep on standing firm, keep on growing strong as Christians, keep on living the right way in this world with joy. If you're a Christian, these last few verses of 1 Peter are for you to encourage you, to help you remember how you can stand firm, and even to remind you that God has given you so much to be able to do that. He's given you all you need. Here we'll see some encouragements at the end to not skip over or to not miss out on this as a part of this great letter that we've all received as Christians. And this morning, if you don't know Christ yet, if you haven't become a Christian yet, my prayer is that these encouragements would show you one more time in this letter how great it is to be a Christian. I pray that these would encourage you to understand that following Jesus is the best. I pray that they would encourage you to turn to Jesus. Here's a big idea for you this morning as we finish this letter of 1 Peter. Christians have all we need in this life, even when things get difficult. Christians have all we need in this life, even when things get difficult. We've talked about how this world is broken by sin, how things are not always going to be easy in this world for all of us. But if you're a Christian, you have all you need. And here's some simple reminders of that at the end of this chapter. Four final encouragements at the end of 1 Peter to help us see how we have all we need in Jesus. Let's read from 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, so I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Some encouraging truths that I want you to see this morning. And let's just start by looking at the first encouraging truth. Number one, that Christians have a powerful God that we can rely on. In this difficult world, we have a powerful God. We have the powerful God who I can come to and I can rely on when things around me seem so hard or might become difficult. And notice that there's a command there to Christians in verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your cares on him, all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Just think about what that means if you're a Christian. You have a mighty God who is involved in your life, who cares for you. God wants, he invites, he even commands Christians here to come to him with all of his power and seek him with all of our cares, all of our worries, all of our struggles, all of our sorrows, anything that would make us worried or worked up or anxious. And God says you as a Christian can humbly and should humbly make yourself low and realize how dependent on God you are and bring all of those things to him. He doesn't say, go figure things out on your own. You're on your own now that you've become a Christian. No, God says, bring these things to me. Bring these things to him. God, who is mighty, wants you to bring all those things that concern you or bother you as a Christian, that scare you or discourage you, and bring them directly to him. Sometimes being a Christian can be difficult. Sometimes this life will become difficult for us. I think a little bit about like having a backpack on. Any of you guys have backpacks? I know some of you guys are like homeschooled, so you don't really do that. But you guys know backpacks, like a book bag, whatever you call it. And there's those days, some days at least, if you're like me in middle school, where you just end up taking all of your books in that bag. It's not all the time, but every once in a while, there's those days where you have like the algebra book and your science book and like a history book and another science book and for some reason another math book. It's like you got as many books as could possibly fit in that bag. And then you put it on your back and you're carrying it around and all you can think about is how you just want to get that burden off of your back. You just want to go home and to get rid of it. It's the first thing you do when you get home from school. Well, God here wants Christians to come with all of our big burdens in this life, things that would weigh us down, that we would carry around with us, all of our worries and fears and questions, all of our needs. And God says, let me take them for you. God wants to take those burdens for you. He says, cast them, give them to him. Give those burdens to him. Rely on him. Pray to him. Seek him. Talk to him about all that's going on in your life because he cares for you. Let him carry that heavy load for you. This is a good point to just say, how great is it to be a Christian? How great is it to have a powerful God who not only cares, but even can do things about the concerns of your heart? A God who can answer prayer, who can relieve your burdens, who can keep you and protect you and help you as you call out to him. Also a good point to say how sad to be in this life, in this world without Jesus. To be missing out on this if you haven't believed in Jesus, to be far away from God's protection and care in your life, to be pushing away his help in your life. How sad to be alone in this difficult, dangerous world. If you're a Christian, you have a God who loves you and who gladly cares for you with all of the things that concern you or burden you or weigh you down. And he can gladly take them and he can help us and he can answer us and he can guide us. He can give us what's best. How great to be a Christian. A good encouragement for us. We have a powerful God who we can rely on as Christians. There's a second encouraging truth here. Number two, that Christians also have a dangerous enemy who we know to resist. A dangerous enemy we know to resist. Verses 8 and 9. And you see this here. If you know Jesus, you have very clear warnings and even help from God to know how to grow strong and how to be firm against the enemy of our souls. And I actually think that's very encouraging here, that God gives us this command, this reminder. If you look there at verse 8, it's an instruction for Christians to be sober-minded. That's like not being distracted spiritually, to be awake, alert, not asleep spiritually. And then he says to be watching, to be looking out for, watchful, like we think of maybe a soldier who stands his guard and he expects and he's watching for at all times, looking for his enemy. And he would never think of falling asleep while he's on post, on stand as a soldier. As Christians, we are sober and we watch out for our enemy, the devil, and we have God's encouragement to do that. There is an enemy that we all have. It's the devil. It's Satan. And there's a lot we can learn about him and God's word, even from the very beginning back in Genesis, where he tempted Adam and Eve and Adam and Eve fell into sin. There's so much we could learn about this enemy. But even most basically here, this verse is just here to remind us that we really do have a very real enemy, the devil, Satan, and we need to be watchful of him, to know that he wants us to be destroyed out of hate for God because he's rebelled against God. Verse 7 says that he's like, or it's not verse 7, it's verse 8, says that he's like a roaring lion that prowls around who wants to devour someone. We need to know that the devil, that the evil one, he wants to take Christians down. He wants us to be deceived, to be divided. He wants to blind us to what's true, what God's word says. He wants us to sin. And so Christians don't need to live in fear of that, but we do need to know and to watch out for and to resist his schemes, to know that he is wanting us to be defeated. And again, I think this is actually something for us to be encouraged by if we're Christians, to just step back and think how great it is to be a Christian. You might think that's weird to say, but I think this reminds us that if you know Jesus, you know the one who has defeated the evil one, who has defeated the devil. And with Jesus, you have victory over him. If you're in Christ, there's no question about how safe and secure you are from the evil one, how you have been rescued from his power. 1 John says that if you're in Christ, you have overcome the evil one. And one day you're going to be with Jesus forever, and Satan will be totally removed, and he'll be finally defeated and destroyed forever and ever. And again, it's also a point for us to say how sad to be in this life without Jesus. For anyone who doesn't have Christ, who's not yet become a Christian, that means you're still under the grip and the power of the evil one. You can read about that in Ephesians 2, 1, 2, and 3. It tells us that you are under the power of the prince of the air, under the influence of the evil one, like a slave in your sin, on the path to destruction. But if you're with Christ, you have been saved. You've been rescued from his power. And now you're going to live in a new direction. You're going to be free in Christ, and you know that Jesus has defeated the evil one. And we can now even live in this world with victory over him. How can we have victory over the evil one? How can we resist if we're Christians? Well, verse 9 says, for one, that if we remember this, or we should remember that we're not alone. We can remember that there's other Christians who are also in this battle with us. That's so encouraging to know that There are other brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world who are also saved by Christ and are fighting this spiritual battle. Another place that we can look to, and we won't turn there now, but you could even write down and study later if you're a Christian, is Ephesians chapter 6. It tells us how we can resist the evil one, and it's through putting on this spiritual armor that through that we can resist the schemes of the devil. Some of you might already know this. This talks about how there in Ephesians 6, there's a belt of truth. There's a breastplate of righteousness. There's shoes of the gospel of peace. There's a shield of faith that you have, a helmet of salvation. You've been saved from your sins and from the power of the devil. You also have, as Christians, the sword of the Spirit. You have God's word, which tells you what's true. You have prayer to keep alert and to pray that God would lead you and protect you from the evil one. Christians have a dangerous enemy, but we know to resist him, and we know how to resist him. And that is a great encouragement here. We have a powerful God to rely on. We have a dangerous enemy we need to know about and who we do know about to resist. There's a third encouraging truth for Christians in this world. It's that Christians also have a glorious future to receive. Verse 10 and verse 11 tell us Christians have a glorious future that we're going to receive. We've heard about this already a little bit in 1 Peter, but I love how this is really right at the end. It's what Peter wants us to take with us and really remember. Let's read verse 10. It says, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace." We could just stop there. This tells us that there is a God of all grace. God is filled with grace. That makes us think about his kindness toward sinners. Undeserved kindness when we deserve punishment and death for our sins. God is overflowing with grace and perfect kindness that we don't deserve. And what did that grace, what did God's undeserved kindness do in the life of Christians? We'll keep going in verse 10. It says, "The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ." For Christians, we are sinners who deserve God's punishment for our sin. But God has placed that punishment for our sins on Christ. And everyone who trusts in Christ, then God takes that sin away. It's forgiven. And God actually clothes us with the robes of Jesus's righteousness. He makes us fit for heaven. He calls us to his eternal glory in Christ. God saves us in Christ. He calls you and he calls me out of our sin, and he calls us to eternal glory that in the future we're going to experience fully forever and ever and the greatest joy. That's an incredible, incredible thing to think about. We have a home that we're headed towards as Christians that we can just look forward to with so much joy and so much certainty that we are headed in this direction, a place where we will be with Christ in eternal glory forever and ever, worshiping him. I think of being like on a long road trip, and I'm sure you know what this is like, especially if you've been far, far away from home and things start to go bad on that road trip, and like your brother gets sick, or you forgot your inhaler, or just things go bad on this trip, and all you and your family can think about is like, I just want to get home. Maybe you ask, are we there yet? I'm sure you've asked that before. Are we there yet? I just want to be home. And finally, you get there, and you can say, I'm home. Home, sweet home. Christians have a home that we look forward to, that we're excited about, that we can look forward to and await and anticipate, and that fills us with overflowing joy that one day we're going to be without sin and we're going to be in glory with Jesus. And God's given that to us in his grace. Verse 11 says, we'll worship Jesus in glory and praise his authority, his dominion forever and ever. What a hope for you if you're a Christian. Not just, I hope this happens. Maybe this is going to happen. Maybe my team is going to win the game. Maybe, hopefully, my family's going to go to In-N-Out after lunch. No, this is for sure going to happen. We have a hope that's secure, guaranteed. God has called us to his eternal glory, and one day we're going to have that future fully. How great is it to be a Christian? And how terrible is it to be without Jesus? To not know this hope, to not have eternal glory, but only have more sadness, more sorrow to look forward to. If you're in Christ, you have the forgiveness of your sins and you have a home that you can look forward to in heaven. And I think this becomes even more and more important. It will become more important to you as a Christian the longer you live life in this world. You talk to any Christian who's been a follower of Jesus for a long time, and they'll just tell you, I am so excited to be with Jesus someday in glory. It's a hope that only will grow the longer you're a Christian. How encouraging that you have a future that you will receive someday, where Christ will restore you, he'll confirm you, he'll strengthen you, he'll establish you, he'll make you perfect one day. That is so encouraging. There's one fourth and final encouragement that reminds us of all that Christians have in this world. And we find it in verses 12, 13, and 14. It's that Christians have also a loving church to remember, a loving church family to remember. This letter we read ends with Christians, and we remember that God's grace is upon all of these different people here. We read about Silas, this man who'd been saved and now was serving the Lord, and how he's delivering this letter from Peter there. We also read about Mark in verse 13, another follower of Jesus, these faithful friends of the Christians there. And we also have greetings from the church in Babylon in verse 13. That's just another way to say Rome, from the church that Peter was writing from. All of these Christians are here at the end of this letter. I think it just makes us think about the family that God has placed you into if you're a Christian. Brothers and sisters in Christ, a family united, a family of love, a family who is serving and living for Christ together in this world. That should just make us think one more time, I think, as we end this letter, what a blessing to be a Christian. If you're a Christian in this world, you're not alone. You have other Christians right alongside you, other Christians to help you stand firm and keep on going in the right direction, other Christians to help you keep walking in holiness, even in times when things might be difficult in this world. If you're a Christian, you have other Christians, a family that God has placed you into. We see that here in this letter, and we know it's true for every Christian. You have access to other Christians, a family God has placed you into that we need to know about and to remember. All of these are just simple encouragements at the end, and I think they're just here to help us remember how great it is to be a Christian and how we should live in this world if we are Christians. I hope that as you look at these verses even today, that you would know and even make sure that you don't think of this letter or even all of God's word as one of those parts of the Bible just to put aside or throw away, or even just think is not really that important for my life. No, here God has so much to say for your life. And I think these verses, especially for you in middle school, are here to remind you how great to be a Christian. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you and thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the words that Peter says here, the important instructions for Christians, how to live in this world. Simple basics for us to keep on going in the right direction. Lord, help us as Christians to follow that, to keep on going in this direction. We also pray, Lord, for all of us, that especially those who are without Christ, that we would understand how great it is to be a Christian, because we've been saved by Christ, because we have eternal hope with him, because we have forgiveness of our sins. Lord, thank you for the joy that you fill our lives with if we have become Christians. And thank you for your word and our time together this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.